Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
All right, welcome back to the second hour of the special edition of Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on ESPN Denver 1600. But I am not Terry Wickstrom. I'm Chad LaChance. I'm filling in for Terry. Terry's off and traveling, and we're not sure where Terry is in his travels, but we do wish him safe travels. I think last I heard something like California, so hopefully he's off and having a good time. But, you know, this time of year in Colorado, we've got such a mix of opportunities for people to be out and hunting and fishing and doing all their things. Me personally, as a fisherman that travels all around the state a lot, and we work with Parks and Wildlife, and we've traveled extensively around the state to check out the various state parks. When we start thinking about this time of year, automatically my mind gravitates to either North Park or South Park with some of the fishing, because those shallow, weedy lakes that are so common up there, whether it be the Delaney Complex or Spinney or down in South Park, of course, Antero Reservoir also in South Park, really excellent fishery, the North Delaney, South Delaney, Lake John, Lake Cowdery, all of those lakes really start coming into their own as we head into the fall. And when you start talking about those lakes, the first thing I think about is trophy fishing. And as soon as the water's temperatures start cooling, those things get really good. And you can fish for the browns, you can fish for the rainbows. In the case of South Park, you can fish for the pike, and all of them are willing participants at this time of year, and it gets better as we go on. So, you know, when I'm thinking about the Delaneys, I start thinking about the Delaney Complex State Wildlife Area in maybe September, early September. So South Park Lakes, probably a little bit or even earlier than that. But I think the guy to talk to about the South Park Lakes is one of the Nate Zielinski crew from Tightline Outdoors. It's Mr. Will Dykstra. I think he's joining us now. You there, Will?
Hey, Chad, how you doing?
Well, I'm fantastic. How are you?
I am absolutely terrific. It's a beautiful Saturday here in one of the most beautiful states anybody could live in, with some of the best fish around.
Well, there you go, bud. I think we can be friends for sure. Now, are you by chance on the water today?
I'm not on the water today. Today is a scheduled family day for a change, because this time of year, as you well know, can be some of the best time of year, or can be one of the best times of year to fish. So getting some family time in while you can, because it's going to be a busy next couple of months.
Well, there you go. And I was just talking to Dan Swanson, also a fishing guide, and you know, same thing. All of us take Saturdays off and leave Saturdays for everybody else, and we'll fish the rest of the week. But now you wanted to talk a little bit about feeding windows, and I generally look at fall as a, you know, say September to the end of October as a giant feeding window, but kind of the spot on spot scenario, there's going to be time frames within that whole fall season that are going to be better than others. And as a fishing guide, it is your job to recognize those. Yes. Are you there? Did we lose you, Will? Oh, we lost Will. Sorry about that, guys. Well, Will wanted to talk to us about feeding windows, and I agree with him, and he and I have talked in advance. I know what we're talking about. The key to the feeding windows in a lot of cases is going to be weather-driven. And when we're talking about feeding windows, we're talking about a specific time when all the fish in the lake light up and start doing their thing. And a lot of anglers don't realize you're going to spend 8 hours on the lake, and within that 8 hours, you're going to get maybe a short period of time where the fish just go ballistic. It is rare that you have an all-day deal where the fish just go and go and go all day long. It is more common that you have a small window where they feed heavily, and I think we've got Will back. And Will, are you there?
I'm here. Sorry about that. A bad cell phone connection.
No problem. So let's talk about our feeding windows deal here. And I was just talking about the fact, when we were trying to get you back on the phone, that those windows are often triggered by weather. They can be triggered by light periods as well. What are some of your thoughts as a fishing guide on the feeding windows?
You know, so it's, as you know, Chad, there's no rules in fishing. I mean, we'd love to say that you can predict everything perfectly, but, you know, something, especially with, you know, the fish that I'm fishing for the most part up there in South Park, being those big pike, is these fish have a ton of food, and they see a ton of angling pressure. So, they tend to be not quite as active as we'd like. I mean, you know as well as anybody, you and I tried to get a pike show done up there, and sometimes the fish cooperate, sometimes they don't. But there's being able to capitalize and even try to predict these feeding windows is really important. And obviously we can't predict the weather, but the things we can predict, like you said, are light periods. I pay a ton of attention to the what's considered the salooner calendar, the salooner tables. And basically what that does is it typically will give you 3 to 4 feeding windows throughout the day where these fish are going to be more active. And actually can hold true to elk and deer hunting as well. But as far as the fishing goes, it's just a time of day, and it's basically based off of the gravitational pull of the moon. And it's a time of day where these fish just tend to be more active. I mean, great example is this past week up at Spinney, we had a pretty slow morning pike fishing. It's buzzbait season up there, and typically the first hour and a half of the day is absolutely prime. And to top it off, we had overcast with a little bit of, you know, light rain, which, you know, if you ask me, that's my day to catch a big pike is overcast early August, late July, and we're going to catch a big fish that day. I can almost guarantee it. And it was weird. Not much activity going on during that perfect weather period. The fish just weren't cooperating at all, not seeing hardly anything moving around at all. And sun pops out. I look at my little table, and it says the feeding major of the morning is going to start at 11:15 and go till 1:30. I told the guests on the boat, I said, you know, something I do pay attention to, even though the fishing, we've had prime conditions and it hasn't been a great day, we do have a prime feeding window coming up. And one of the guys said, oh, you, do we need to put tinfoil on our heads too for this bite? You know, kind of joking around, you know, yeah. Trying to tell them that we can predict this based off of what the moon and the sun's doing. And from 11:15 to approximately, I think it was 11:55, because I was watching the clock, we put 9 pike in the boat, 34 to 43 inches. And it was with flat calm. The sun had peaked out. It was flat calm and high sun, bright sky, and all of a sudden what I would consider something that would typically turn the fish off, you mix the change in weather with the fact that it, you know, coincides with that feeding window, we capitalize big time. And the biggest thing I want to point out is you might not believe in this system or not, but what I do is it puts me on my best spot where my biggest fish are going to be at what I would consider the prime time. And it also keeps everybody on their toes so that focus goes up, you're on your prime spots, and it kind of lines everything up to put more success in your favor.
Well, and I agree with that 100%. First of all, you had me at buzzbait bite. When you told me there's a good buzzbait bite, that's a good sign. So folks need to run with that little tidbit of information, meaning get up there and fish your topwaters in the morning. But back to your thing about, because you alluded to the fact that these salooner tables, and just for the record, I'm an old school saltwater guy, which means the tides work around the salooner tables. And the tides really drive the whole thing. Not only now do you have a salooner event going on, but you also have a water movement event going on, which is big. But back to you alluded to the fact that it can also affect deer and elk hunting. I'm a huge believer in that. And I'm also a believer in observing your system around you. Let's say you're in South Park and the antelope have been bedded up all day. When those antelope get up and start feeding, I'm going to my best fishing spot, whether I know the salooner tables or not. When the antelope get up and start feeding, I'm going looking for my best spot. When the deer around Horsetooth are all of a sudden I'm looking and there's deer up on their feet and they're moving all over the place, I'm going to fish more aggressively. I'm going to my spot. And I can almost guarantee you that those are tied to some other feeding window. Now, how the fish and the wildlife all get on the same page with that, I don't know. But I believe that they do. And that's a good indicator of what's going on in your environment. So I think that's a really important thing. Now, when you start talking about weather events, and I know we can't predict when they're going to happen, but we can react to them. So one that I look at is say, okay, all of a sudden this front's coming. Now we've got wind blowing consistently out of one direction into this one bank. That to me is going to create a window as well. Would you agree with that?
I would absolutely agree with that. And I will say this, you know, there's definite things that correlate with the direction the wind's coming from. And, you know, there's days where you'll have a straight west wind up there in Spinney. I mean, everybody that's spending time up at South Park, Spinney or 11 Mile or Antero knows that wind can howl up there. And typically you don't get a ton of changes in wind direction up there. Typically it chooses a direction and blows like crazy all day. And that almost always gets the fish riled up, gets them ramped up. So again, when I get conditions like that, I want to be on my prime spots fishing with high action, high reaction style baits that I can keep moving and cover as much water as possible. But something I will say is, I remember as a kid being up on a fishing trip, and the local fishing guide there said, yeah, so, I always correlate the wind direction with what the fish are going to do. The wind's out of the north, fishermen go forth. Wind's out of the west, fishing is best, and wind out of the south, fish open their mouth is what he'd always say. And he said, however, when the wind is out of the east, the fish bite the least.
Yep.
And I've thought about that my whole life, and something that people might not realize, but I would say more often than not, when you have a steady east wind, that more often than not will correlate with a rise in barometric pressure, which is another one of those things that we use to try to predict what the fish are doing. And if that barometric pressure is stable or dropping, the fish are going to be fired up. But when you get a barometric pressure that's already high and then starts to rise, which is typically what happens with that east wind, that bite's going to get a little bit tougher. Does that mean we leave the lake? Absolutely not. It just means we've got to change up some tactics, and maybe fish with some baits that are going to hang out in that strike zone a little bit longer.
Yeah, exactly. Give the fish more opportunity. Be that bowl of potato chips that's sitting in front of you. Whether you're hungry or not, you'll eventually take one. And if you leave your bait in a strike zone long enough, a pike or a trout's got to try it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
It's just their mindset. I associate the east wind as being the least common wind pattern. Therefore, it is the one the fish are less comfortable with.
Right.
So no matter how you look at it, I agree with you on the east wind, that's my least favorite. When the wind's blowing out of the east, that is for sure my least favorite bite most of the time. And it's basically because it isn't a bite. It's a non-bite, and that's the problem. But when the wind, when you get that prevailing west wind or particularly a south wind, southwest wind, at least on the lakes I fish most commonly, you'll get a consistent bite. That's when we can power fish real aggressively, the big jerk baits, the big lipless crank baits get real aggressive. You know, that's when you throw the big streamers, whatever the case might be, and don't slow down. Now, that really is the time to get aggressive and get after them. Now, quickly here, we're going to run out of time in a hurry, Will, but so if a guy wants to go fishing with you, and I've been fishing with you, I already know it's good, but if a guy wants to go fishing with you, how is the best place for him to get a hold of you?
So you can find us on Facebook at Tightline Outdoors on Facebook. You can also find me personally on Facebook at Will Dykstra. And then we have a website, tightlineoutdoors.com. That's got all of our guide rates on it, as well as the different opportunities that we have. And again, we're getting into my favorite time of year to be catching some really big trout in South Park, and the pike fishing, I guess the pike and trout fishing right now, both at Spinney, 11 Mile, and at Antero. That trout fishing is just going to get better and better, and the quality of fish we're seeing up there is as good as we've seen in a long time.
Well, there you go. I may hit you up and see if we can get out and jump in a boat and do another whack at a pike show. But also, real quick, I'm going to point out that you'll be guest hosting this very radio show on August 31st. So perhaps you'll call me, and I will call, and we can talk some more. But, Will, I appreciate you taking the time to call in today. We'll let you get back to your family time, and hopefully we'll get in the boat with you here real quick.
Absolutely, Chad. Thanks, man. Have a great day.
You bet. That's Will Dykstra with Tightline Outdoors. With that, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to a special edition of Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on ESPN Denver 1600.